Third hour, DDC here on this hot Tuesday.
Get you sexy, huh?
Darren McFarland, Willie Donick at the Field of Dreams. That's where Willie is. We are ready. Tim Hasselbeck, hopefully he's indoors because he's been outdoors. Training camp, many camps, and I'm sure he probably remembers some really, really hot ones. Today, Rivals, kind of an August training camp. How did you handle that as a player, Tim?
Probably complained a lot.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah. But, and then when it got cold, I complained about it being
complained
cold.
About no. that, yeah.
No, I didn't do that. You know what I hated about, like, when it would get crazy humid is, like, your hands would sweat. And then, you know, inevitably you'd have a center who, you know, was probably sweating like a hog. And, you know, like grabbing, it was like wet ball drill, you know, and even though it wasn't raining out. I actually remember talking to my brother, his first training camp here with the Titans, because he wasn't used to it being like as humid as it was and like handling the football. And so, yeah, you think in Seattle, they would do their training camp in like Eastern Washington. Then he was with the Packers before that. So he really hadn't experienced like the humidity the way he experienced it here. And he was like, dude, I can barely get a grip on the football.
Well, I remember, and Willie will remember this too, us being out there live doing shows when we were in afternoons. And for the second practice that day, the two-a-days, and Kevin Mawai would come over there and sit down with us. And my goodness, if that wasn't working on wet ball drill, I don't know what. The quarterback, Neil O'Donnell, Steve McNair, whoever was taking snaps from Kevin Mawai, holy cow. Kevin Mawai, hey. Remember, Willie, how sweaty he was coming right off the field? It was mind-blowing how sweaty he was.
So some guys are just like that. Right? They just sweat.
Like he just literally got out of the pool like this, Tim. He got out of the pool and sat down at the table with us.
Yeah. No, listen, hey, look. I've got two examples of living that, basically. But one of them was, I don't know if you remember, Max Lane, the offensive tackle that played for the Patriots.
Yep.
When I was a ball boy for the Patriots, like we had put their like laundry in like the laundry bins and stuff. I mean, his practice pants, they probably weighed 15 pounds by themselves just because they were just sopping wet. But here's the thing. The next time like there's a combine measurement for a quarterback's hand size, and everyone's talking about all cold weather and this and that, like, don't forget about an August game in Jacksonville with a center that's going to sweat like Kevin Mawai was sweating and having to manage the football, okay? Like, because I would argue that it means something in that environment.
How do you think there's going to be a lot of – so let's just start with some of the big question marks that we'll have throughout this offseason and into training camp and getting ready for the regular season. Derrick Henry, we'll hear from him a little bit later this hour. He was out there today for the mini camp. Everybody's going to wonder, you know, how is he going to look coming off this injury? And how will they handle him coming off this injury? And again, I'm asking you something. You're just guessing like us, but what's your gut feeling? What do you think? Or maybe you've talked to some people. How do you think they're going to handle Derrick Henry?
I think in terms of the injury, I think that with how the year finished, I don't think the injury is an issue at this point. Like, I don't think you move ahead on the issue. Like, there are some things that are just, you know, in some ways out of your control in terms of, like, you don't know what would do it, right? Like it could be one of these things where like you injure it in a walkthrough, you know, or a jog through, and you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be because, you know, something that happened during the regular season. Like, how do I think that he gets handled from like a management perspective? Look, I don't think we'll see him in the preseason. I think I'll have less than six touches the entire preseason if he plays at all. And then in terms of the year, I think they're just, like, I don't think there'll be games where it's like in the first half of the season where you think, hey, he can't touch the ball 25 times, in this game. Like, we're saving him for later. But I think on average, and I think we've talked about this before for the first half of the season, I think on the average, I think you'll, you know, like it, they won't rely as heavily on him as they will later in the year when, you know, it's really not going to matter. You've got to, you know, you got to do what you can to win the football game. So that's how I think they'll handle it. I don't think that's something that's super unique to him. I think that's how, you know, most running backs that are productive, that are in their late 20s, that's how I think the whole league would try to handle it.
We view Jeffrey Simmons as kind of Aaron Donald light on this show and in this market. He's right there. He should not be compared. Aaron Donald is standalone. He's earned that. He's got the skins on the wall. He's done it for a long time at a high, high level. But on a national level, that's us in this market watching Jeffrey Simmons. People you're dealing with at ESPN, people you're talking to, how do they view Jeffrey Simmons? Because the contract thing is not going to go away. He wasn't out there, and already Mike Vrabel is getting asked, is he not out here because, you know, he wants a new contract? How do they view Jeffrey Simmons on a national level?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of Aaron Donald, like, here's what I would say with those comparisons. Like, you know, you see everyone now comparing Aaron Donald to, like, Lawrence Taylor, like the best defensive player they've ever seen and things like that. So, you know, I don't know that I put him on that level. But here's what I would say. Like, you know, when Ndamukong Suh has been a really dominant player, like, is Jeffrey Simmons every bit of that? Yeah, he is. I mean, the reality in terms of, you know, how people at ESPN view him. Look, I think the people that are covering the league understand how good Jeffrey Simmons is. Like, I don't think that there's a secret. You know, much like I think people understand how good Kevin Byard is. Like, you know, if you really look at Kevin Byard, and I had this conversation with people at work at one point, but like, Kevin Byard in safety is a hard position to go to the Hall of Fame at, or had been traditionally. It's gotten a little bit easier probably over the last, you know, 6 to 8 years. But, like, Kevin Byard's put together a Hall of Fame-type career so far. And so you kind of continue to stack those, like, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Like, Jeffrey Simmons has kind of put the start of something like that together in terms of, I think, how he's viewed by the entire league. You know, from a national, you know, less diehard fan perspective, you know, do people know Jeffrey Simmons the way they probably should? Like, I would say that they probably don't. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that would ever enter into kind of how he ends up getting compensated. And I do think while he's not, you know, the Aaron Donald type player, Aaron Donald's deal most certainly affects the deal that Jeffrey Simmons will end up signing.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking NFL. So, Tim, let's take it a step further than just Simmons. When you look at what we think they're going to invest in Simmons eventually, it's big, big dollars. You've got the reinvestment in Harold Landry. You've got the second year of the big Bud Dupree contract, and then the second year of Autry as another guy that's been a nice free agent pickup, and it looks like he was sort of the right price. They've gotten good return so far. But that front four, there's high expectations because of the investment. But where would you rank them in actuality? I think when they're all together, they've got to be among the best. But what other front fours come to mind that they're competing with?
Well, they definitely are in the group. I was just looking at this some of the other day. Like, look, go look at Washington. Washington, I think, is four first-rounders on their defensive line. Now, like, the reality for them is that, you know, like, Chase Young's coming off of an injury. He hasn't necessarily, you know, he had a good, you know, he's got kind of had his moments, but he hasn't been consistently good. But you just think about them. It's Montez Sweat, who's a first-rounder in 19. Daron Payne, first-rounder in 18. Jonathan Allen, a first-rounder in 17. Chase Young, a first-rounder in 2020. I mean, like, you know, and so, like, teams that have invested in their front like that, I think you can look at them and say, look, they're pretty good, you know, along that defensive line. I think that, you know, saying that, like, I think it's also fair to say that, like, but the Titans have a really good defensive line. The Chargers, you know, because they're, you know, because they have an odd front, like, it's a little bit different, but, like, that's another good front when you consider, you know, Bosa is listed as an outside linebacker, but is he really an outside linebacker? Khalil Mack is listed as an outside linebacker, but he's really kind of a defensive end, edge rush player. And so you put those two guys, you know, kind of quote-unquote in a D-line group, I think that's another nice group as well. But, yeah, look, I don't think there's any doubt that the Titans have a defensive line that can be compared to anyone's in the league. And I think one of the things that's really clear is that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have certainly been like, look, this is a priority. We are going to try to get this position right. We're going to invest in the guys that we get right at that position. And I think that that had a lot to do with the A.J. Brown situation, because I think they felt like, hey, rather than let that position leave, let's try to trade a receiver and see if we can get receiver right again, but let's not mess with, you know, our defensive front.
Tim, there's a really interesting article that Jeremy Fowler wrote for the ESPN website. And he said, for the first time in a long, long time, you have 6 second-year quarterbacks that are entrenched as starters going into the year that all got to play as rookies. And he actually said the last time he could see something similar was 2000. How about this draft class? Dante Culpepper, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, Cade McNown, Tim Couch, and Sean King were sort of a similar class. So you got to go back almost 20 years. We'll save the evaluation of those guys for the sake of time.
How many would be successes, too?
Yeah, that's what he basically said. You went 2 for 6 there. But the question he asked is, going into this year, if you could redraft Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and the wild card is Davis Mills, right? He's the non-first-round pick that got to play a lot. Where would you redraft those guys? It's a fun question. There's no right or wrong answer there, but yeah, would Trevor Lawrence still be number
Trevor
one?
Trevor would still be first. Yeah, I think Trevor would still be first. There's just so many things that he does well, physically, how good he is, just kind of leadership maturity. Like, I still think that he would be the first guy taken. I think Mac Jones would be the guy that would be the riser, you know, in that. I think the guy that, you know, I think you, and listen, I'm not just speaking for me. I think, look, the way I would have done it a year, you know, back then would have been Trevor, Fields. You know, at that point, I would have to look back. I think it would have been Zach Wilson at that point. Like, I wasn't a big Mac Jones guy. So, like, on my list, like, I think you'd have to move Mac up. But like, I think Fields is a good player. I think that Lance was drafted so much on potential and you didn't know. I mean, guys, he hasn't played football. Like, I think he started one game in, I guess that would have been 2020, right? Yeah. One game in 2020. He played 3 games last year. Like, the guy's played like 4 games in like over 1,000 days. Like, he hasn't played. So, you know, I think if Kyle Shanahan had it over again, I don't think he would do what he did with Trey Lance. I just put it that way.
Interesting. Good stuff as always. Tim, appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week and stay cool, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, fellas.
All right, that is Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. We will come back and hear from the King. Derrick Henry spoke today. After many camps, we'll hear what he had to say. We've been talking about him. Let's hear what he had to say after practice today. We'll do that next. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app.